Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Board to deliberate trustee selection. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees will deliberate the selection of District 7 applicants to interview and consider hiring principals for four campuses, an executive director of leadership, and an executive director of guidance, counseling, and wellness at their meeting today. The meeting will start at 5 p.m. in the first floor boardroom of the administration building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue, with a general board workshop starting at about 6 p.m. The 5 p.m. portion is a Level 3 grievance hearing. Principals will be for Alamo, Gonzales, Milam, and Ross Elementary Schools. Trustees will decide on a pool of candidates to interview today to replace board member Nelson Minyard. On June 21st, trustees will interview and select a candidate to fulfill Position 7. The interviews will be in closed session, and the board will vote in open session. Superintendent Scott Murray has said whoever is appointed June 21st will take the seat immediately, but will have to run in May 2023 and again in 2025, which would start their regular four-year election cycle. Potential candidates are required to live in District 7, and when they apply, Murray said, their address will be checked. Trustees will also hear presentations on the Measure of Academic Progress, or MAP, test results, and a budget update. Obituary for June 14th. Gary Lynn Hawkins, age 68, passed away on Friday, June 10th, at his home in Wink. He was born on December 4th, 1953, in Wink, to R. Neal and Ethel Marie Ryan Hawkins. Gary is survived by his wife, Gina Hawkins of Wink, sons Wayne Davis and wife Audrey of St. Lawrence, Texas, Cody Jack Hawkins and wife Crystal of Denver, Colorado, brothers Ronnie Hawkins and wife Charlene of Wink, Bobby Hawkins and wife Tina of College Station, Danny Hawkins and wife Robin of Wink, Tommy Hawkins and wife Paula of Kermit, sister Connie Miner and husband Richard of Yoakum, and many grandchildren. He is preceded in death by his parents, R. Neal and Marie Hawkins, daughter Wendy Davis, and sister Patricia Ann Barker. A memorial service will be held at 10 a.m. Tuesday, June 14th, at Family Services Funeral Chapel in Kermit. Arrangements are entrusted to Family Services Funeral Parlor, and condolences may be sent to the family online at www.fs-fp.com. Death notices. Alfredo S. McGuire, 93, of Odessa, died Wednesday, June 8th, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. on Wednesday, June 15th, at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. The family will receive friends for visitation Tuesday, June 14th, from 5 to 9 at the funeral home. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Pedro Beruman Fregoso, 81, of Odessa, died Thursday, June 9th, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m., June 15th, at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Maggie Johnson, 94, of Odessa, died Friday, June 10th, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 2 p.m., June 16th, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Pastor Clydell Chapman is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa.
This is the Business and Oil page. This article is entitled, Crude Flow to Asia Near Unparalleled Levels, by Julian Lee Bloomberg. Russia's seaborne crude flows are taking on a new pattern as Moscow seeks to deal with impending European sanctions on its exports. India has moved from being an insignificant buyer of Russian crude to the second biggest destination for shipments, behind only China. As China emerges as the only market for crude shipped from ports on Russia's Pacific coast, India has rapidly become the largest purchaser of barrels loaded at ports on its western shores. Asian buyers, dominated by China and India, are now taking close to half of all the crude shipped from the country's ports, with a steady stream of tankers heading around Europe and through the Suez Canal from the Baltic and Arctic seas. Almost 860,000 barrels a day of crude were loaded onto tankers at Russia's western export terminals in the week to June 10th before heading to destinations in Asia. And the figure will almost certainly be revised higher once destinations become apparent for almost 210,000 barrels a day that are on vessels yet to show a final discharge point. The European Union has agreed a sixth package of sanctions in response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, including a ban on imports of the country's crude by sea, which will come into effect in December. In the meantime, several refiners, shippers, and traders are self-sanctioning Russian oil. Still, while trade has been diverted to Asia, so far the curbs are having little impact on the overall level of shipments. Overall, seaborne crude flows did slip in the 7 days to June 10th, giving up the gains of the previous week. A total of 34 tankers loaded 24.9 million barrels from the country's export terminals, vessel tracking data and port agent reports show. That put average flows at 3.55 million barrels a day, down by 10% from 3.94 million in the week ended June 3rd. Flows of Urals crude from terminals in the Baltic, Russia's primary outlet, and the Arctic were unchanged in the week to June 10th. But both the Black Sea and the Pacific saw weekly volumes fall by almost one quarter, or two ships in each case. While shipped volumes fell by 10% in the week to June 10th, Moscow's revenue from export duties slipped even more, falling by $28 million, or 16%, to $152 million from a revised $180 million in the week to June 3rd. The dip in revenue reflects a lower per-barrel rate of export duty on shipments made in June, which applied to all shipments in the week to June 10th, but only some in the week to June 3rd. Duty rates fell by 10% between May and June, dropping $44.80 a ton, equivalent to about $6.11 a barrel, from $49.60 a ton, or $6.81 a barrel in May. That's down from $61.20 a ton, or $8.30 a barrel in April. Duty rates have now fallen by 27% since April, reflecting the steep discounts that Russia is being forced to offer to secure new buyers for its crude in Asia. The number of cargoes shipped from Russian ports fell by 4 to 34 in the week to June 10th, compared with the previous 7 days. The following charts show the destinations of crude cargoes from each of the four export regions. Destinations are based on where vessels signal they are heading at the time of writing, and some will almost certainly change as voyages progress. The total volume of crude on ships loading from the Baltic terminals at Primorsk and Ust-Luga remained steady in the week to June 10th, with one more ship leaving Primorsk than in the previous week, offsetting one fewer from Ust-Luga. The volume on tankers showing destinations in Northwest Europe was unchanged, while shipments to the Mediterranean rebounded from the previous 2 weeks. The volume on tankers signaling destinations in Asia was the lowest in 3 weeks. This article is entitled "Busiest U.S. Shale Play Keeps Adding Supply" by Sheila Tobin and David Weth, Bloomberg. Drillers across the Permian Basin are boosting oil production, even as companies warn soaring inflation across the oil patch could stunt growth. Output from the Permian, which stretches across Texas and New Mexico, reached 5.14 million barrels a day in May, up modestly from its previous forecast of 5.13 million, according to an Energy Information Administration report. That's a fresh record high to data going back to 2007. The prolific shale basin is forecast to add supply through July, the agency said in its drilling productivity report. For months, the Biden administration has been pushing the industry to add more output as it battles historically high fuel costs and the worst supply crisis in decades triggered by Russia's war. The government faces an uphill battle, with publicly traded explorers expressing reluctance to increase drilling as they focus on boosting investor returns despite oil trading over $100 a barrel. Still, a lack of refining capacity will blunt much of the impact that growing domestic crude output will have on fuel prices. At pumps across America, some motorists are paying record prices. In the Permian, the number of drilled but uncompleted wells, known as DUCs, is at the lowest level in at least 5 years, the agency said. Producers are using up their existing inventory of DUCs to avoid spending on new drilling, given their newfound capital discipline. But to maintain and expand production in the future, new drilling has to occur.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, June 11, 2022. Few points. Rare drama-free period now over in Midland. Local controversies do not need to be reasons for community to lose sight of who it really is. Stuart Doreen, staff columnist. Anyone else enjoy those drama-free weeks in Midland? Well, they are over. I have no problem with what David Wilson thinks he needs to do, filing a suit for what he believes will be better government. If that is what the process requires, it will make our community stronger. What this situation does, that I am not crazy about, is divide the community. Take the situation at hand. District Attorney Laura Noldolf has been thrown into the fire recently. That is part of the position of being arguably the most impactful person in the county. But for the life of me, I can't remember a series of high-profile events that put the Midland County DA's office under such a public microscope. In 2017, a Midland police officer was involved in a crash that killed an elderly man. In 2019, David Wilson shot and killed a Midland police officer. Earlier this year, Midland police arrested officials from Midland Christian School and Trinity School of Midland for failing to report the alleged sexual assault of a student. One can make judgments on how those cases have been or were handled, but I want to hear the argument there was a good outcome in any of those. There wasn't one. In fact, what I think is most fascinating about the predicament that Noldolf now finds herself in is it's a battle with so many fronts. On one front is the Wilson team. That one is pretty easy to understand, and it will play out in open court. We know after Friday that Noldolf remains in a divisive relationship with County Judge Terry Johnson, who stirred up his supporters by firing off a comment on the Reporter Telegram's Facebook page that Midland deserves a better DA. Make no mistake about it. Johnson was sending a message to Noldolf. She has opposition from the Midland Municipal Police Officers Association, who took the incredibly rare step, by its own admission, of offering public statement of how the Midland County District Attorney's Office handled the Midland Christian official's case in front of the grand jury. She also has at least one very formidable person, former federal prosecutor Glenn Harwood, already indicate his intention to run against her in 2024. no way those battles end peacefully for all involved. Getting back to the original statement in the article, the end of peace, even if it was a short period here in Midland, it seems like this community has been going through a 24/7 cycle of controversies, some large and others not so much, going back to the Midland ISD bond election of 2019. When one ends, another begins. That makes the next 3 years or so very uneasy for this longtime Midlander. There will be more elections, more requests for tax money, more public conversations needing to be had, and very high-profile events, controversies that we can't get away from. My hope is we remember who we are, that there is a proper way to have the conversations that are coming our way, that leaders lead, and we avoid looking like other communities where leadership is a part of the problem and not part of the solution. Want to highlight or perpetuate the divide on a government board? Do it elsewhere. Respect the fact that voters have made their decisions. Fight your good fight and move on to the next problem. Our politics in Midland should be better than what we see in Washington, Austin, and other communities across the state. Let's act like it. Call on your lawmakers to help fight Alzheimer's. Sydney Halbardier, Alzheimer's Association. More than 6 million Americans are living with Alzheimer's, including 400,000 in Texas. I have just attended the Alzheimer's Impact Movement Advocacy Forum in Washington, D.C., with my fellow Alzheimer's advocates from across the country. During the AIM Advocacy Forum, I met with Congressman August Pfluger's office to explain why Congress must continue to prioritize legislative action against Alzheimer's. Specifically, I urged Congressman Pfluger to support the Bipartisan Comprehensive Care for Alzheimer's Act, S-1125 H.R.2517, that would task the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation to test a different payment structure for dementia care management. Caring for an individual with Alzheimer's or another dementia poses unique challenges. Thankfully, dementia care management can ease these challenges, improve quality of care, and reduce costs. Unfortunately, dementia care management programs have not developed within the current Medicare fee-for-service system. The Comprehensive Care for Alzheimer's Act has the potential to streamline today's complicated healthcare maze for people living with dementia and their caregivers. Please join me and the Alzheimer's Association in encouraging Congressman Pfluger to invest in policies that address the national public health crisis of Alzheimer's disease. To learn more about this disease and how you can join the fight to end Alzheimer's, visit ALZImpact.org.
Efficacy of statins on William. Dear Dr. Roach, I've heard that women could raise another consideration about statins, that studies on their efficacy were done on men only, and that nothing has been established on the way they do or do not work on women. Is that true? CDC. Answer: many of the initial studies were indeed done on men only, and even in those done on men and women, the number of women in the individual studies was not enough to prove a benefit. Since then, studies have confirmed that women with coronary disease benefit from statin drugs. In women without known blockages in the arteries, combining the results from many trials has shown that women achieve about the same benefit as men do. However, since women have a lower risk of heart disease when compared to men of the same age, there is less of an absolute benefit for women. To complicate matters further, women who could benefit from a statin are treated with statins less often than men are and are consequently at a higher risk than they should be. Women may be at a higher risk for muscle aches than men, and statins must not be taken by pregnant women. As always, lifestyle changes, especially with diet and exercise, are the first line in preventing heart disease.
This is the Dear Abby column. Recovering alcoholic feels helpless as cousin implodes. Dear Abby, I was an alcoholic. I have been sober since 1994. I live with my elderly aunt and assist her while working in ministry. Her son lives with us and is basically a hopeless alcoholic. He drinks all day and lies on the couch. I know that if this continues, it will be fatal. We have tried to get him into 2 or 3 rehabs, and I can't count how many times he's been to the hospital for detox. After his last stint in rehab, he came back and was drinking again 3 days later. Because I don't know what else to do, I have committed myself to saying, well, if he wants to drink himself to death, there's nothing I can do. Am I doing the right thing, or is there something else I can try? I mean, it's not my house, so I can't throw him out. I don't even broach the subject with my aunt anymore. Signed, Conflicted in Illinois. Dear Conflicted, congratulations for hanging on to your sobriety. I can only imagine the stress you are experiencing watching your cousin drink himself to death. If at all possible, it might be beneficial to you if you found other living arrangements while assisting your aunt. Your aunt, not you, as well-meaning as she may be, is her son's enabler. Her passivity is partly responsible for what's happening to her son, not you. You have done everything you can, and you cannot save him from himself. Your aunt may need counseling to help her break the unhealthy pattern that has been set with her son. Please suggest this to her. I hope she is receptive. Dear Abby, my friend has this habit of phoning me while she is walking her dog or driving somewhere. To put it bluntly, she calls when she is otherwise engaged in biding her time until she finishes the walk or reaches her destination. When she walks Gonzo, I have to contend with his barking, her admonishing Gonzo for pulling on the leash, or the wind, which makes it difficult to hear her. When she's driving, the connection is often iffy. She has done this for years, but recently it has started to seriously annoy me. I wish she would call when she's sitting in a quiet room and not preoccupied with something else. Is that too much to ask? How can I politely tell her this? Signed, Ticked Off in Texas. Dear Ticked Off, it shouldn't be too hard. Politely tell her you would prefer that she not call you while she's walking Gonzo or driving, particularly the latter because it's dangerous and you would hate to have her miss her exit or get into an accident because she was distracted. Then tell her you prefer talking with her when she's in a place that's safe to talk and she's not distracted. If she persists after that, ask when she'll be home. Suggest you talk later and hang up. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.